1 o'clock, maybe 10 till, but not till 1. I'm glad I'm saved. What about you? Stand up this morning. We'll honor the reading of the Word of God found in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 1. There's nothing like minding the Lord. There's nothing as bad as not minding the Lord. I tell Brother Lee, I enjoyed the teaching this morning as a blessing. Isaiah chapter number 1 and verse 1, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they've rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They forsaken the Lord, and they provoke the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart is faint. Verse 7, your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land strangers devour it. In your presence, and it is desolate, as overthrown by strangers. The daughters of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in the garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been at Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. Thank you for standing this morning. Today I want to focus in on verse number 4 on one statement. You ought to underline it. Ah, sinful nation. Now I'm going to preach on our sinful nation. Our sinful nation. First of all, I want to say thank God for our forefathers that have given their life that we may come and gather together in a church as this to worship our God in spirit and in truth. Thank God for the forefathers that have stood in the pulpits of America and proclaimed the name of the Lord. We notice in our reading that the Lord said, O sinful nation. If you'll look in Psalms 33 and verse number 12, the Bible said, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance. In Psalms 9 and verse number 17, there the Bible says this, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. I would love to be able to tell a people this morning that everything is fine, but everything's not fine. I would love to tell a people this morning that our nation is a serving God, but I'm afraid our nation's not serving God. Thank the Lord for a handful of people that are gathered together this morning to worship Him in spirit and in truth. But oh, what a sinful nation. I want to say three things this morning before I leave. I want to say, first of all, we've experienced a change that's perplexing. We've experienced a change that is perplexing. I want to say, first of all, we've appointed a leadership that is confused. In Proverbs 28 and verse number 15, we've appointed a leadership that is confused. I'm not here to bash our president this morning. My Bible says we're to pray for him. The Bible also says rebuke before all that others may fear. I believe calling a hog and a dog and sin, sin. And it's no gray area to God. It's black or it's white. It's right or it's wrong. And this morning I want to say that our country, America, has appointed a leadership that is very confused. Our leadership's confused. They don't know what to do. You know why they don't know what to do? Because they ain't found the ones that can make it do. And that's the Lord Jesus this morning. They still a God in heaven, honey, on His throne, ruling and reigning this universe as He sees fit. And oh my goodness, our leadership is so confused. We say, well, the stock market will cure us. We say, well, you know what? We'll just throw money at the poor population. We'll throw money at the unemployment. We'll just pump money into our society and we'll get things a-moving. But things ain't a-moving too good. Matter of fact, things is degressing, Brother Gerald. Oh, sinful nation. I want to say that we've all experienced a change that's perplexing. Now, some of you young'uns, you wouldn't know what it'd be to go to the first grade. And your school teacher open up a Bible on her lap and tell you something about Jesus. And that's what happened in the first grade. And I'm not an old man. We've experienced a change that's unbelievable this morning. You say, well, we want to change. Well, we getting it. We want to change. And matter of fact, I done found out nobody likes a change but a baby. Somebody say amen right there. We've experienced a change that's perplexing. We've appointed leadership that's confused. You said, I didn't. Oh, yeah, we've all appointed a leadership that's confused. Somebody's put this regime in office. Unless we all stayed at home voting day, we ought to vote. Somebody say amen right there. The Christians has been silent way too long. We've appointed a leadership that's confused. In Proverbs 28, verse 15, the Bible says, as a roaring lion and a raging bear, so is a wicked ruler over the poor people. We've appointed a leadership that's confused. Washington's so confused. The state capital in Georgia is so confused. Do you remember when the drought hit our country a couple, 3 years ago, and our governor said that he's going out on the courthouse steps and his family going to do something that could send us rain and go to praying, and those folks publicized him like he is an idiot. Boy, isn't it sad when we can't simply say, let's turn and pray to God to turn our water on. It's unbelievable this morning. We've experienced a change that's perplexing. We've appointed a leadership that's confused. And this Bible says, so is a wicked ruler over the poor people. Not only have we appointed a leadership that is confused, but we've approved laws that are crazy. We've approved laws that are crazy. Proverbs 29 and verse number 2. The Bible says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Honey, I'm going to tell you some laws that's crazy. You can't shoot a dog without going to jail, but you can kill a baby. Laws are crazy. Now listen, I'm sorry for you tree huggers this morning. This is a bad day for you to roll in here on 4th of July. But I won't tell you, honey, it's bad when the little red hat ladies are gathered around a 100-year-old tree and set up camp meeting around it, but yet they'll kill babies by the droves and never open their mouth for what God said is a living soul this morning. But if you go down there and try to cut one of these oak trees in Bowden, why, it'd be like you kicked over a firing hill. Here comes all these tree huggers. And they love trees, and they say, well, let's kill the whales. Oh, you say, kill a whale. Lord, it'd be 55,000 show up down there. But you kill a baby, and they'll government fund it. Buddy, we got some laws that's crazy. It's amazing to me how the minorities is calling the shots for the majority. I'm convinced, honey, let me tell you something. that we've allowed things in our country and we've set up laws that are crazy. Go to your computer and punch in this. You'll get a hoot out of it. Punch in crazy laws. See what you get. One law's there that the blind can't drive a car. It's against the law to sleep and drive. Did you know it's on the books in the state of Georgia you cannot advertise the price of a haircut? Did you know down in Kennesaw, Georgia, that it's a fine to tie a camel to a light pole? I don't know many camels around Bowden. I could say some things I do know, but not many camels. But we've adopted laws that is crazy. Y'all remember when Lake Lanier, when it's about to dry up and people starving to death, we barely could get a drink of water, folks in the church's wells running dry. Hey, you know what they said? They said if we dam up Lanier, it's going to kill these extinct fossils down the streamway, and here comes all them tree huggers to town. I'm not much on tree huggers. But we've experienced a change that's perplexing. What would some of your forefathers do if they come back in this walk of life and see what's going on in this world this morning? Buddy, let me tell you, this world's gone crazy. We've approved laws that are crazy. You hear me this morning? They crazy. Did you know in the state of Georgia it's on the books? It's illegal to use profanity in front of a dead body or in a funeral home, but yet they'll go out on the streets and they'll use profanity in front of your children and think nothing about it. Have you ever sat down at a table in an eating place and somebody was so vulgar with their mouth that you wanted to hold your young'un's ears to keep them from hearing such garbage and filth? Buddy, let me tell you something. We have experienced a change that's perplexing. It's amazing to me we've appointed a leadership that's confused. We've approved laws that are crazy. And we've abandoned landmarks that are confounding. In Proverbs 22 and verse number 28, the Bible says this, "Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set." There are landmarks, friend, that God has allowed, that forefathers have established, and they've set them for boundaries. He said, don't remove those landmarks. A lot of landmarks has been removed. Landmarks of the church. Now, you can hardly tell an average Baptist church from a casino lodge. It's amazing to me what's going on in our country. I'm talking about we have abandoned landmarks that is confounded. Landmarks of truth that our forefathers stood for. Hey, what about some landmarks in the courthouse that's been removed? I want to say that we've experienced a change that's perplexing. But number two, we've excluded commandments that are provoking. Look in Deuteronomy 8 this morning. Deuteronomy chapter number 8. I'm going to show you what God thinks about His commandments. We've excluded the commandments that's provoking in Deuteronomy 8 verse number 6. Now you can't make me believe this. You just can't make me. I'm just too much of a country boy. You can't make me believe that if out of the 50 states of the United States, if everybody voted on the 10 commandments, I just can't believe that the majority would be to take the commandments down out of our courthouse. I think it's a minority there that their voice has been heard and they're running this country in spite of the majority. We have excluded the commandments that are provoking. Deuteronomy 8, you ought to underline this, you ought to teach it to your children. He said in verse number 6 of Deuteronomy 8, "Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God." Now if your Bible says that you ought to keep, or if you feel good, keep it, Or it would probably be in your best interest to keep it. You got the wrong kind of Bible. But if your Bible says, therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord, thy God, to walk in His ways and to fear Him. Now, we've excluded commandments that are provoking. You'll see in verse number 6, we are commanded to recognize. You know what America's done? They said, Lord, we don't need You nor Your commandments. He says, fine, I'll fill your water up with oil. Fine, I'll take your capitals down by airplanes. That's fine, I'll send earthquakes and kill thousands in droves. I'll send hurricanes and I'll flush cesspools. Somebody say amen right there. We've excluded His commandments. A command to recognize, verse 6. Thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord. I tell you why some of you don't like a King James Bible, because you don't like what it tells you. Amen. Command to recognize. And look what He says. To walk in His ways and to fear Him. It ain't no fear of God no more. Not only here in this verse do we see a command to recognize, but we see a command to reverence. He says, and to fear Him. You better fear God. I fear God. I'm not afraid of God, but I fear God. Let me tell you, friend, when somebody can go out here in a gazebo and steal God's porch rockers off of His steps, that ain't no fear of God going on. When they'll go out here and get God's barbecue grill and picnic table off the property, honey, it's a bad day when you got a chain down. It's unbelievable. No fear of God. They'll come park behind your church and do all their ungodly things. They'll throw their beer bottles out in the ditch. They'll flip anything out on the lawn. No fear of God no more. Other day we had a wedding here and I noticed somebody, they seen the no smoking signs up. And they pilfered around outside the outskirts and went to smoke it. If I was really the kind of preacher I ought to be in, I ought to run up there and say, hey, bud, what's your problem? You can't read or what? No fear of God. Ain't no fear of God no more. Well, we'll just do anything. As a nation, we'll just do anything. My goodness, oh sinful nation. We've experienced a change that's perplexing. We've excluded commandments that are provoking. We've got a command to recognize. We've got a command to reverence. And I'm going to tell you what, in verse number 18, we've got a command to remember. He says, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. My goodness, we better get back up and read something. This watch is bothering me this morning. We better back up and punt. I know about 90% of you don't want to hear what I'm preaching, but 10% do, and that's who we're staying for this morning. I want you to notice what he says. Verse number 10, Deuteronomy 8. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Oh, you own it all, don't you, buddy? Let me tell you something. All God's got to do is snap his fingers, and you ain't got nothing when the snapping's over. Look what he says, verse 11. You ought to underline this. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I commanded thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold gets big and all that you got's multiplied, then your heart will be lifted up and thou forget the Lord thy God which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the flock of the flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee and that he might prove thee to do good at the latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant and swear to His fathers that it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do it all, forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyed before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God.
Honey, let me tell you this morning, we've excluded commandments that are provoking. And I'm so sick of this liberal bunch, I could gag. It's God that's founded this nation. It's God that has provided. It's God that's blessed us. To God be the glory. It ain't about Democrats. It ain't about Republicans. It's about the God of glory that sat on His throne. And I say, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm glad I know Him this morning, friend. Bunch of liberal politicians. Buddy, we throw the commandments away. And I tell you what, you better buckle your seatbelt. God is fixing to keep His end of the bargain. He says, you better look around at the other nations that's forgot about Me. Buddy, we so blessings supposed to bring us to God. Blessings never intended us to take us away from God. Some of you better thank God you ain't won the lottery. Some of you ought to thank God your crops ain't prospering. Some of you ought to thank God your gold and silver ain't a doubling. Your britches may get a little big for you. And your head may get a little too big. My Lord, what an opportunity to preach in America. My goodness, folks, we have excluded the commandments that are broken. We have been commanded, no doubt, to recognize. We've been commanded to reverence. And we've been commanded to remember. You ought to write this down. Exodus chapter number 20. That's where you can find the Ten Commandments in your Bible. Turn there. Exodus chapter number 20. You ought to put a big star up on top so you can find it. Because your children ain't going to be able to read it in the public places. You ought to be able to know where it's at and go to them and tell them what it is. Chapter 20 of Exodus, verse 1, God spake all these words, saying, I'm the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before Me. He said in verse number 7, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. I tell you what, honey, if you'll use God's name in vain, you need more than your mouth washed out. You need your brain examined. Verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now our day's Sunday, the new dispensation. It's not Saturday. God means business. We ought to recognize His day. We ought to recognize His power. We ought to recognize His glory. Honey, let me tell you something. I love entertainment. I love fun. I love hunting, fishing. I love all that kind of stuff. But when it comes to the house of God on Sunday, you know where I park at. Unless I'm sick, I'm going to be here. I've made priority. He's going to be the God of my house in spite of what's going on. I say somebody to shout this morning and thank God for the good things He's given you today. 6 days shall you lay. Verse 12, look here, young'uns. Honor thy father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. And the ones that do ought to be put out of their misery right then and not setting that on death row 25 years. If it's a smoking gun, end of the story. That's what's wrong with our country now. Convicts live better than we live. Somebody say amen this morning. Them thugs break in and rape your wife and kill your children. Put them up front of a liberal jury and they go to crying saying it's crazy. Lord God, we know this crazy. We know this crazy before they got on there. Way some of y'all look crazy. It don't take a judge to tell me people's crazy. Mass murder. Oh, we ought to not do that. Well, you better read the book of Romans. Buddy, God's all about capital punishment. You say, I don't believe it. Okay, they walk in, rape your wife, kill your young, and we'll see what you think about it. We'll see what you think about it. You think they're going to kick my door in down Bowden, Georgia, and be going to lay there and say, stop in the name of the law. You bunch of liberals. I guess you boys are spineless. You just let somebody come in there and just take your wife and young'uns over, wouldn't you? No, well, I don't want to offend nobody, preacher. If my voice is that high, I'd be trying to eat me some gravel. But if saved, redneck's always a redneck. We've excluded the commandments that's provoking. He said, thou shalt not kill. And he means what he says. Look what he said in verse 15. Thou shalt not steal. You paying your tithes. Boy, you're shouting. I come in with that verse, wouldn't you? You God robbers. Y'all watch this. Now, it's getting loosened up. I'm starting to preach a little bit. Ain't it amazing? And I ain't got no problem tipping 15%. Ain't nobody going to call me chinchy. If I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it right. I ain't going to fool with it. And I'm sorry, that's just my personality. We're going to do it. I'm going to do it, honey. If we're going to have red carpet, it's going to be blood red carpet. If I'm going to get a shotgun, I ain't fooling around with no 410. I'm getting a 12 gauge. But I want to say this morning. If you tip a waitress 15% and you ought to, and you want him to give God 10, thou shalt not steal. Here's all right, preacher, do you got on money? I don't preach on that much. I'm just telling you something to help you this morning. Thou shalt not steal. Isn't it amazing what God has wrote down to help us? Look what it said in verse 16. Thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. A lot of you talk about your neighbor and you don't even know what you're talking about. You went on the law of first impression and you've missed it. Somebody was coming here, me preaching day law first impression, and say, my God, I'll never go back down there. That guy eats nails. But they don't see the crying side, the loving side, do they? We people of first opinion. You know, somebody walk up and man, you say, rrr, rrr. Shouldn't bear false witness against your neighbor. And then he said something else. He says, thou shalt not covet your neighbor's house, nor your neighbor's wife. Hey, sir, that little young gal you're looking at, that's somebody's little girl out yonder. Punch him, woman. You can slap his jaws this morning. I don't care. We're not having service tonight. You ain't going to mess the night service up. We'll give y'all a whole week to get right with God. Go on, just pop them real good. It's just, I was kidding. My goodness, we've excluded the commandments that's provoking. Lastly, we've accepted a culture that's pathetic. Amen. We've experienced a change that's perplexing. We've excluded the commandments that's provoking, but we've accepted a culture that is pathetic. Now I get to preach. Cultures of marriage. What happened to family values? Did y'all hear the other morning when the devil raised up its head when I got to talk about lesbians and homosexuals? That kind of sin that's sweeping and taking our country. Mom and daddies, let me tell you better keep your young'uns under old time preaching, because what's going on today, they're totally recognizing that two men married is a family unit. God says it's an abomination. That's out of hell. Straight out of hell's where it's from. And buddy, it's a taking our country by the landslide. Let me tell you something. Don't you think just because you've drawn a line out there in front of your doorstep, don't you think a devil won't step across that line? You look in Leviticus 20:13. We've accepted a culture that's pathetic. No longer do we have family values as a whole in our country. Leviticus 20, verse 13. You ought to underline this. And young'uns asked you about it. Well, this is what the Bible says. He says in Leviticus chapter number 20, verse 13, if a man also lie with mankind as he lie with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. Look in Leviticus 18, verse 22. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination.
But oh, we don't want to offend nobody.
God created man and woman for a reason, to repopulate the world. Men upon men cannot reproduce anything but an abomination and sin. And ladies of the same gender is the same way. Lesbianism is out of hell this morning. This kind of spirit's taking our kids. Let me tell you, young kids, you better thank God you've got a preacher to preach to you. You better thank God you got a mom and dad to bring you to church to hear preaching. This little stuff going on in your little Facebooks, these little gals are kissing and are hugging on one another. It's out of hell this morning. I'm not running for mayor. I'm a preacher. You say, well, my little boy, he's looking at that little girl. He's supposed to. And let me tell you, you don't let boys and girls camp out together because they do boy and girl things. Oh, Lord, y'all looking down. Ain't time to pray. We preach it. You leave little boys alone, they're going to be like little boys, and little girls are going to be like little girls. That's the way God made us. And I don't care what the society says. Well, I was born that way. God said we was created in His image. Honey, homosexuality is a choice this morning. Nobody was born a homosexual. Nobody's born an atheist. It's choice. Put that on your barbecue grill and smoke it. We've accepted a culture that's pathetic. Marriage, family values, husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church. You're to be the leader. You're the husband. You're to be the band around your home. Bring your young'uns to the house of God. You're to work, provide for your family. Somebody say amen right there. Somebody crank that red truck. I may have to get a quick getaway this morning. Back it up on the shed. Family values. We've accepted a culture that's pathetic. Manners. I've never seen so many unmannerable young people in all of my born days. Your britches on the ground and your hat sideways. Ain't that a song somewhere? Hat sideways and pants on the ground. Pants on the ground. Pants on the ground. I tell you what, if you're one of my daddy's youngins, your pants will be on the ground, all right, and his paddle belt be on your backside. Looking like an idiot with your pants on the ground. And your hat sideways. A hat's got a bill on it. You put it on the front of your head, that way you know what way you're going. Manners, unbelievable. But it's bad when young people wear a cap in a funeral home. It's bad when grown men wear short breeches in a funeral home or the house of God. It's pathetic. Could you imagine any of you old country folks raised where I was, walk in with your mama and dad in a funeral home with a cap on you? My daddy would have slapped me bug-eyed. My daddy would have popped my jaws. They'd been ringing Christmas. Our morals are shot. Hey, young boys, you know something? It's still all right to open a door for a lady. It's still okay to take your hat off if a lady comes in. It's still all right to be respectful. Young boys, you take these young girls out on a date, you ought to be respectful. That somebody's little old girl that's got in the car with you. And if that daddy ain't got the guts to tell you, this preacher to leave your hands off of them. You ought to put a Bible between the seat. And mom and daddies, you better go with them today about 25. I don't care how long they married. Still some things I don't like what these boys do. Somebody say amen right there. I got a grandbaby involved. Some of y'all getting there. I got thinking, I bet you some time my dad-in-law wanted to break my neck. One time me and Renee was spatting a little bit. She sprayed me with a garden hose. I run me a 5-gallon bucket of water, and I hid behind the corner of the house, and she had that pretty long red hair off it, and when she come around, I put that whole bucket of fire. I did it, though. Lord knows I did it. I wonder what her daddy thought about me. Man, I remember one time Megan, little old thing, she went off with her granddaddy and didn't tell me where she was. I just tore up. You know, I thought somebody got her. She didn't tell me. She ought to told me. Somebody say amen right there. She come back and there was two things wrong. I was young and dumb and I was mad. Boy, I jerked me a limb off a tree and went to pulling off. That's when my dad-in-law said, wait a minute, Ken, cool down before you do that. I'd probably whoop him. But it don't change the fact I've done some crazy stuff. Well, think about what we're doing. We can mess up more than 5 minutes and we can take back in a lifetime. I can say something right now while we're there because I don't have to come back tonight. If you young girls are dressed right, you might not have a sign around your neck telling little boys what you're up to. Absolutely. My wife's got a good saying. They just ain't had no mama. You let them go out of the house and their little dress tail hiked up on their hiney. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? They ain't got enough on up top to want a shotgun. Y'all see me after service, I explain that to you. And then you wonder why all them little old hound dogs is hanging out. Son, hound dogs didn't hang around my house. You hear me? They pull up and say, hey, boy, you got a Bible. Got a Bible. Or a bandage, buddy. You put your girl hands on my little girl, you're going to need some bandages. Either one will help you, bandages or Bible. Somebody say amen right there. Our morals are shot. Hey, boy, surely you don't pull up in the driveway and toot your horn, do you? Bonk, bonk. Bonk, bonk. I say, buddy, you done blowed your nose, your brains is gone. Morals. We missing morals. Hey, young boys, it's okay to say yes, sir, no, sir. Y'all not tell your daddy no. Y'all say yes, sir, no, sir. Call your mama ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. You got to train. The Bible says train up a child the way to go. You got to train them up. It's your fault. Lord mercy. It's your fault. Your young'un's in the floor acting like they ain't got good sense. That ain't their fault. They doing what you let them get away with. You pull you a good 42 or 44 off. Some of that good American leather. Don't do use none of that Chinese stuff. Amen. Buddy, you put it to them.
Well, go get the necktie. I've got to spank Johnny.
And ma'am, here you are. Oh, you go hurt him, you go hurt him, you go hurt him, you go hurt him. No, ma'am, you're hurting him. You put stripes on him now, the government will later. Where's my brother? I seen the other day. Oh, there you are, brother. He's working folks with them stripes on them this week. If you don't believe him, see him after service. We're in a mess. We're in a mess. We've accepted culture, the pathetic, our marriages, our manners, our morals. You know, we've exploited our children for profit. It's amazing to me the video games you buy for your kids. They just killing and shooting and whacking everything. You know what? We've sold our kids for profits, what we've done. Then we ain't killed, we sowed. Then we ain't killed, we've sold out to the world. Now, I want to ask something. Do you ever watch what your kids are doing? What are you pumping in their little minds 7 hours a day? When I was a kid, we was out milking cows and cutting firewood. But we ain't got that culture no more. They're doing something on that TV. You better watch what they do. What they play in, you better watch it. They're going to get an axe. They're going to come get you in the bed. That's right. You pumped it in their mind. I don't like it, preacher, and it's 5-1. We ain't done yet. Boy, we're in a mess. We're in a mess. Our marriages, our manners, our morals, our money. That's 2-hour sermon. Our music. Boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 boom. Our music. I had one of the best German Shepherd dogs a man's ever owned in the state of Georgia. Buddy, listen. My German Shepherd dog, when these girls was little, they could go down to Grandpa's house, lay their bicycle down. Brother Ralph, he'd sit there and sit right by their bicycles to see till they come back. He was a good dog. Now, this dog was a little strange. He'd let you out of the car. He wouldn't let you back in the car. Amen. I've had people call me at the plant and say, "Hey, preacher, we in your yard. He let us out of the car, but he won't let us off the porch." But he's a good dog. He is my friend. When none of y'all would say amen, he'd say amen, preacher. And I seen his ears roll up one day. He heard it before I heard it. It's one of them bumping cars come down the road. You know, it sounded like the hubcaps fixing to blow off with all the bass in there. Man, he gritted up and he went to run. He thought sure. He was bigger than that Chevrolet. They run over my dog. What's the moral of the story? It'll even kill a dog. You ought to watch what they're listening to. If your young'un's music is knocking the windows out of your house when they pull up, it's too loud. We've adopted the world's movements. We've adapted the world's morals. And we've adored the world's measurements. But there's a verse I'm going to leave you with you this morning. The Bible says this, 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. Every preacher in America, the 40s, 50s, used to preach it one night of revival. I believe it's still true. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, and I'll heal their land. Yep. Young couples, you have no idea what kind of responsibility you've got raising your children. You don't have any inkling of what kind of responsibility you have. I thank God, like Brother Logger stood up this morning, little old baby there done throwing her little old hand up to worship. Isn't that just a blessing? He says, if my people... Let me tell you, the world's always been crazy, folks. But he said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. That's our problem. And turn from their wicked ways, and I'll hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin, and I'll heal their land. We do have a voice. It's a big voice. And I'm glad we can pray. I'm glad we can say, "Dear God, help our family, help our country, help our community." Let me tell you, folks, if we don't band together and stand for what's right, it ain't going to be nobody left doing right. I know your kids say, well, Mom and Dad, everybody else is doing it. That's the pressure our kids used to use. Well, that's fine. We ain't doing it. They ain't do it, but you hear me? We ain't doing it. And I've heard it 1,000 times, Brother Jerry. Well, why can't we do it? Because we're looking out for your best interest. Children, look here at your preacher this morning. We leave it. I want every kid to look here. Every young, I want you to look at your preacher. Your mom and dad is trying to do right. Love them for it. They trying to raise you right. Listen to them. Apply yourself. And listen. I want all of our little kids, I want you to come forward this morning. We're going to close this service. I want you all to come. All those that can come by theirself, I want you to come. I understand infants can't come, but you that can walk, Emma, you just bow there, baby. Help some of these little ones. You bow right there, darling. Right there with Bobo, okay. I thank God for our children here this morning.
Amen.
Young'uns, I want y'all to pray for our church this morning. I want you to pray for your mom and daddies. And I want you to pray for our country, okay? Father, we love you.